I enjoyed this morning's Bible study, Brother Mike, right? He was talking about peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, they'll be called what? Children of God. That is a starting point. They'll be called as children of God. And he also talked about other-centeredness, you know, not being selfish to ourselves, always thinking about others. And then I was thinking, what is the message I am going to be speaking about? When you look at the New Testament, there are many people who stood out in the early church. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is the center. Right from Genesis till Revelation, He is the center of the Bible. Even though there are many characters in the Old Testament, starting with Abraham and Moses and David and Solomon, coming up and going, but it is God who is in the Bible, from right from the Garden of Eden till the book of Revelation. But we see Christ everywhere in the Bible. But we look at human beings like Apostle Paul. Ours is a new church in Manali, and we have a systematic Bible study on every Wednesday in our church, and we were studying the book of Acts. I've studied the book of Acts many times, but when this is the first time we are doing it after we went into ministry, you know, systematic study. When I was studying the book of Acts, I found out that there is so many inspiring things that we can learn from this man called Paul. A man who was very zealous for the Lord right from the beginning in what he believed. He believed as a Jew that Jewish system and Jewish belief is the only thing that we can have a relationship with God. I mean, he found this new way, the Christian way. He naturally was antagonistic against what was going on, and he started persecuting them because of his zeal. Once he recognized that he was in the wrong path, that it was not the right way, he turns a 180 turn, and then he comes and gives his life to the Lord. He goes many missionary journeys, first missionary journey, second missionary journey, third missionary journey, and in the fourth one, even when he's imprisoned and he's taken as a prisoner, he continues to do that work. In the second missionary journey, he established a church in Philippi, and then he writes a letter to them. And now he's writing this letter from the Roman prison to the believers. They're probably about 10 years later. This church was probably established in AD 50. About 10 years later, when he's there in the prison, he's writing a nice letter to the believers who supported him, who prayed for him. And it says that, you know, I want you to be doing certain things. This, when you read, yesterday I read this Philippians again, one more time to be refresh my mind. Because sometimes we read the Bible and we know the story and we think, okay, I know it. But when we again, with a fresh mind, start reading it, we see things coming up. Oh, I never thought this way before. You know? So this epistle has four chapters. And I was looking at this man and he's trying to understand Paul from that perspective. Being a prisoner in Rome and thinking about his church there, which he established in Philippi. And then writing to them. So the first chapter, I read it and I gave the purpose of his life. Paul, what is your purpose in life? What is your goal in life? If you ask that question, from the first chapter, he will give this answer. In first chapter, verse 21, he would say, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." For me to live is Christ. What do you mean, Paul, by saying that for me to live is Christ? If you read the previous verse, verse 20, it says, I want Christ to be magnified. Shall we read that? Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I'll read that. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness and always, so as also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In other words, Christ should be magnified in my life, whether I am living or dead. In other words, he had a very clear purpose statement. My purpose is to live for Christ, whether I am living or dead. We looked at Graham Staines and his family. Even after death, Christ was magnified through their life. Gladys Staines came out the next day, and the whole country is listening to her, what she would say. Her husband and the two children were burned alive, and what is this lady going to say? And she said, I forgive the murderers of my husband and my children. That was on the headlines on the national newspaper. That is how Christ is glorified. Headlines. Every national newspaper with her picture came out in a Hindu country. Because even in death, she was able to glorify Christ through the statement that she made. Paul right now is living in uncertainty whether he's going to be living or alive, he's not going or dead, he's going to sure. In the cloud of uncertainties that is hanging above his head, he says, I want to magnify Christ in my life, whether I am living or dead. That's a strong purpose statement. The purpose of Paul. Second thing, when you come to chapter 2, we ask him, what kind of life would you like to live? What kind of life are you planning to live in order to magnify Christ in your life? I know your goal is good, but what kind of life are you talking? Tell us more about it. He will say that, let this mind of Christ be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That means that is the pattern of life. Not only have a purpose, but also have a pattern of life. A lifestyle, an attitude like Christ. Now you might ask, what is the mind of Christ that Paul is referring to in chapter 2? If you read the previous verse, Philippians chapter 2 verse 4 and 5, it will become very clear. Philippians chapter 2 verse 4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind of Christ be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, Christ had what we call the other-centeredness. That is the mind of Christ. We're all living here. Grand Rapids, beautiful city, nice and quiet. Very nice people, Christian belt, I would say. But here it says, let this mind of Christ be in you, which is thinking about others. Thinking about India. Thinking about people who are lost. Thinking about the brokenhearted. Thinking about those who are in need. Thinking about those who, missionaries or the Christians who are suffering because of their faith. Think about them. He's asking them, the pattern of life that you need to have is not only have a purpose statement clearly made, but have a pattern of thinking about others. Christian life is other-centered life versus the self-centered life. I went to Bible college learning historical and systematic theology in Wheaton College. In the historical systematic theology, they tell about the developments of doctrines historically. And also talks about different incidents that happened during how the doctrines were originated and what were the debates that was going on. Things that we hold as very cardinal to us today. How it came, what was the process that took place. In that we see that, you know, there are many religious views that is actually influencing the Christian view also. But none of the religions did have any of these things like Christians had. One of the things I will give you is like the other-centeredness, helping the others who are in need. That is uniquely Christian. You look Hinduism, where we are coming from. That is all self-oriented. You do karma for you, and that's it. If you are suffering today, it is because of your previous life. Probably you did something wrong. Okay? And you have to suffer it. There is no way out. It is your fate, they call. Everything is self-oriented. But when you come to Christ, we see that it is not you that is important. The Lord Jesus Christ, even though he was God, he gave everything up. Because in heaven, living in the glory and the worship and the majesty of God, he could have been there. Because all the creatures who are there, they sinned, they deserve to go to hell. Let them go to hell. He could say that. But he chose to make a difference in their life. He always thought about his creatures who are going away and falling into the trap of Satan. And he said, I have to do something about it. I cannot be sitting in heaven in my comfort zone. I have to do something. Finally, in the fullness of time, he came as a man to save them. He lived as a man, as a poor man, misunderstood by many people. Because they could not consider him as God. How can God be on earth and be a man? That was a big stigma against him. But he did that. finally he was willing to give his life for us on the cross of Calvary. And when we read this Philippians chapter 2, we see that the seven steps of coming down and finally being a servant to the people and finally giving his very life for us. And that's what has happened. Let this mind of Christ be in you. What is that mind we are talking about? Mind of people like Graham Staines. Who would leave their comfort zone? They could have been in Australia, having a nice life, having raising the children. Maybe children may still be living there. God knows. But leaving everything. When we had to make a decision to go to India, I had a good job here. I was a senior research scientist in a company, and a product development manager down the line. And my struggle was, how will I leave my house, my children, my wife, and go to a place? And that's the time the big collapse happened, and we had to sell the house for the market price, and we had got nothing. All our investment was in the house, and we had to just let it go. Let the bank take it. It was basically a bankruptcy file, and then we just have to go. And when we leave the children, how will you leave the children? Into the hand of the Lord. Because one of the concerns we had was, what will happen to our children once we leave? What's the point of losing your children and you gaining the whole world? That was a big concern. But the Lord strengthened me and saying that you leave your children in the hands of the Lord. It is God's responsibility to make sure they are well taken care of. And to God's glory, so far, God has taken care of us. Our daughter is getting married next Saturday. She's finishing up medical school. And two of our children are in college. It is happening, even though we are missionaries. So once we make that decision, it is God's responsibility to take care of us. And when we make that thing, that is the pattern. Think about others, not only to have a purpose in life, but also have a pattern to follow. Come to the third chapter, Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. You know, what will I get out of this? The disciples asked the Lord that question. You know, we have left everything, Lord. We have left our fishing boat, we have net, and our families, and we are following you. What we will get? The Lord said, in one occasion, he said, you will be reigning the 12 tribes of Israel. The ordinary fishermen, who cannot even speak good Hebrew, with an accent, Galilean accent, they will be ruling over the 12 tribes of Israel. Wow. Can you believe that? I don't know which tribe they follow. I don't know if you put all these 12 people, do they really follow in different 12 tribes? I don't know. But God chose this ordinary fisherman to rule over the 12 tribes of Israel, in spite of they probably being in different tribes. But that is the plan of God. If we honor God, he is able to do that. That's what Apostle Paul says in chapter 3. He says, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Press toward the mark. He was not just living a life. He always had a mark. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, you run the race. It is a race that you run. We are not competing with each other. If brother is going and if I am going, we are not competing. There is no question who will come first. It is the question of, will you finish the race? Christian race is not a competition from one another. I tell other people, we are not in competition. When we started the assembly in Manali, I had to go to there is an Anglican church there. I went to the pastor and told him that we are starting a new ministry here. I wanted to know that. I don't want you to know through somebody else. I am coming and telling you personally. But don't get, disturbed, because we are not here to snatch your shepherds. Sheep. to snatch your sheep. We want to bring people who are unheard of the gospel, and we want them to do. That is the thing. So don't be, threatened by us. Urgently. And we are inviting you to pray for us. And he did that. When we had this small hall or thing, he came and prayed for us. So we are not in competition with one another. Churches are not in competition. People are not in competition. We are all running to the finishing line. The only question is, have you ran the race well? It doesn't matter how many people finish, whether who came first, it doesn't matter. Because we all have accountable to God in our own way. The race is there. We need to finish it. He says that, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling God has called. Now, I just want to go to the fourth one and then conclude. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. He says, not only I have a purpose, not only I have a pattern to follow, not only I have a goal and a prize before me, I also have the power. I have the power. He says that I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Philippians chapter 4 verse 13. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Sometimes we feel very weak. What can I do? What can you do? We feel so apathetic that we are helpless. You know, we cannot do anything. But God says, I can do things through you once you are available. Once you are available. And that is the desire of God, that we should be available, utilizing the power, the untapped source of God, power of God that has gone us. The Spirit of Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the power of resurrection, the power of Holy Spirit is given to each believer. Only if you would take this opportunity and say that, I have a purpose, and that is to live for Christ. I have a pattern to follow, not to be thinking about myself, but always thinking about others to follow. I have a goal, I have a prize before me that anybody can go get. Paul says it's not only for me, for all those who would do that, right? It's not just reserved for me only, for all those who follow. And then he says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I'm going to close it here. Your time is up. My prayer for you as individuals is to take challenges from a man like Paul. Make your life different. Do not live an ordinary life. Live an extraordinary life. Have a legacy for you and your family, which years later people will remember. I talked about Moravian missionaries. I probably am thinking maybe a group of 10 people or 5 people came, and when they put the design, they put it intentionally, the cross, and still the cross speaks. Make a difference in the generation that you are today, so that God's name may be glorified and magnified in the years to come. May his name be glorified. I ask someone of you to close in prayer, please.
Father, we thank you very much for this challenging message from your word, for these reminders of your work in this world during the latter part of this age. Lord, we look forward, each one of us who's a believer, to hearing that, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, we pray that you will continue to speak to our hearts, motivate us. And we pray your special blessing on Brother Saji and his wife as they go back to Himachal and to serve you there. We pray for these people that were mentioned, these families, these workers, these faithful ones. Lord, may they grow strong in the word. May the message of Christ become real. May the word of God become real to these children in the school who have memorized so much of it. Lord, that they would take it in and believe. And we pray all these things, Lord, for your glory. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ.